Hey friends, welcome to But What If You Did, the podcast for millennials that find themselves in the middle of the growth phase. You know, the part in the big life transition that doesn't feel good. This is the part where it feels hard to show up every damn day. You may be in the thick of things now, but someday you'll look back and be hella proud of yourself that you kept going. I'm your host, Allison, and honestly, I know the growth phase is messy. That's why I'm sharing my stories and life lessons in hopes that it'll help you navigate the messy stuff in your life. I'm positive our paths have crossed for a reason, and I'm so excited to have you along for the ride, because now we get to grow through the hard stuff together. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of But What If You Did? I'm Allison, and I am so excited you decided to tune in today. Today, I have a really awesome conversation with Alicia M. Campbell of Culture Shift HR, and we are talking all things career transitions. So, little background on Alicia before we dive in. Alicia M. Campbell is an accomplished and respected strategic HR leader with a decade of experience that encompasses all facets of human resource management, from executing successful multi-million dollar workforce recruitment and optimization projects to spearheading employee culture initiatives. She has truly seen and done it all in the HR space, and her passion for the industry is what led her to start her own HR consultancy and strategy agency known as Culture Shift HR. As the founder of Culture Shift HR, she uses her business acumen to help companies utilize and engage their best talent while creating purposeful, diverse, and inclusive work environments that help businesses to grow and thrive. With her business practices, she encourages companies to embrace the employee-first philosophy that focuses on shifting the cultural dynamics and encouraging recognition of positive results and behaviors. Ultimately, this leads to greater employee engagement, customer service, and recurring revenue, allowing the clients to stay competitive in their respective industry and labor market. So, I hope that you guys are ready for some action-packed 30 minutes, because this one is fire. All right, now, not going to keep you waiting any longer. Let's get Alicia on the line so that we can dive right in. All right. Hi, Alicia. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Allison. Thank you so much for having me.
So, I did a quick introduction before we got on the line, but if you want to go ahead and give my listeners a little bit of your background and introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Awesome. So hi, everybody. My name is Alicia M. Campbell, and I am a strategic HR leader and professional working in the HR and diversity and inclusion space. I started my own HR consultancy firm in 2018 called Culture Shift HR, and I work with small brands and businesses in helping to utilize their talent to best optimize it within the business environment. And then on the flip side, I also work with employees to make sure that they're bringing the best to work every day, being motivated and inspired to do their best work.
Awesome. So glad we were able to connect, and I'm really excited for this conversation. So, normally, I kick off the podcast with a grow through the hard stuff lesson, which is, you know, a life lesson that I've learned from a really, you know, maybe not so great situation that kind of turned into something really great. So I thought maybe today we could have you kick it off with a grow through the hard stuff lesson.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. I think for me, my growing through the hard stuff was kind of, you know, early on in my career where, you know, I was really passionate about human resources. I wanted to kind of be the HR guru, and I was really like burning myself out. I was spreading myself way too thin. I was taking on way too much work, both in the workplace and in my personal life. And I really thought that I could do it all. And not that being ambitious is a bad thing. It's a very good thing. But understanding what my limits are and respecting my limits, I think for me was a lesson that I hadn't learned at that age as yet. And so I burnt out. And I was, at that point, I really became useless to everybody. My work suffered, my personal life suffered, my own self-esteem suffered. And I really got into a place where I got lost. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know really what I wanted anymore. And nothing was really clear. Just really, really foggy and just uncertain of kind of what was my next step. And so in that, though, I really kind of had to refocus, regain that clarity, and really try to understand, you know, what is it that Alicia wants? You know, what is it that you want to be doing? because as you continue to go in your career, a lot of opportunities are going to come your way. People, like different things, different doors are going to open. And I'm the type of person that's like, ooh, I don't want to just check what's behind door number three. I want to check behind door one, two, and three. I'm just so curious. So that has bit me in the butt a couple times, but I think I got to a place where I was like, Alicia, you need to figure out what you want. And I think a lot of times in my career, I've gotten a little bit lucky where the things that I wanted were the ones that came, that were the things that didn't seem to be too far away from me. And I would fall into these opportunities. And then it came to a point where I really had to make the tough decisions, and I didn't know kind of what my North Star was. And so through that, and as you know, I really had to figure out what that would look like for me. That's kind of how I decided to start Culture Shift HR, which is my HR consultancy and strategy firm. And when I decided to start Culture Shift, again, I was still in the burnout phase, but I realized the biggest thing that I realized was, what is it that I want to be doing for the rest of my life? You know, if I'm 80 years old and I could still be working and still be functioning, what is that one thing I want to be doing? And I said, I want to be doing HR, and I want to be doing HR for companies that appreciate the value of their employees, that want to see their employees succeed, and most importantly, that see that their business is their people. And I tell people this all the time, and it's so interesting when I see kind of their reaction. But like, a business is your people. I don't care if you sell products, services, you know, who's in the what sits. It doesn't matter. If you have employees and your employees are the ones selling and driving and creating your business, that is your business. And so you really need to be valuing and putting your employees first above all, because that's what's going to be best for the business. And so as I started to, you know, talk to people about employee first philosophies and what that looked like, it was like, oh, like that makes so much sense. And now, of course, now there's tons of research and science and, you know, studies done on it that shows that employee first driven organizations are more successful, they're more diverse, and they're more agile in the market. And so when I realized that it was going to be my North Star, I was really able to rally behind it and really have that focus that I've really been actually craving for my whole career, but didn't know that I was lacking it so much. So, it was painful. A lot of time just sitting alone, thinking, frustrated. Oh my goodness, so much frustration. A lot of talking to people. But at the end of the day, I really had to listen to myself. And I think I had to take the stillness of what was going on and listen to what my voice, my inner voice was saying to know, okay, Alicia, this is what you really want to do.
Yeah, I think that's a great point about taking the stillness. I think that there's a lot of chaos in the world right now. And I think a lot of people, I know a lot of my audience specifically is being forced to kind of reevaluate what their path is. And I certainly have preached the importance of your why, because I think that that really grounds you in everything. And until, like you said, you're super clear on your why, I think it can be really hard to lock in on what is that right path. And it just becomes very easy to get overwhelmed with ideas and opportunities. And do I go after, like you said, this door or that door, or what's really the right space. So I think that, you know, something that kind of comes out of that is, so you start to figure out your why and you start to lock in on kind of, okay, this is the direction I want to go. And, you know, I think nowadays we're seeing a lot of millennials shift towards entrepreneurship, right? And I think that we're seeing that because, like you said, like we're working for these company cultures or these corporate cultures that don't necessarily put the people first. And so we start to look for ways that we can create our own space to put the people first, right? And to kind of find the right people for who's going to really support us in this next stage of life. So how do you really, you know, if you're looking to get into whether it's entrepreneurship or a new company, or and you feel like everything just feels really cluttered and oversaturated and you don't really know how to make, you know, you stand out, how do you make yourself stand out from not only a personal perspective, but from a corporate perspective, when everything just feels so oversaturated at the moment, especially with so many millions of people unemployed and searching for that next opportunity? How do you make yourself stand out?
Yeah, Allison, that's a great question. I would say, you know, if you're looking into entrepreneurship or even going into a new job in a field that you feel like, okay, there's a lot of people here, you've got people who are seasoned professionals, you have, you know, maybe some new grads who have just graduated this past spring, You have people who are kind of up and coming in their career. You have people of all different tiers and levels in the area you want to go in. I would say take a step back and figure out what you really want to focus on. So if it's marketing, for example, marketing is a massive industry and there's so many different facets to it. What is it that you want to particularly focus on? What is it that you want to specialize in, that you want to hone in on, and what you want to develop kind of as a mastery of a skill? And make a plan for what that looks like. So if you're starting from step one, like figure out how you're going to continue to be more educated in that space, where you can get that work experience, how you're able to be around other masters in that space to gain their knowledge and their expertise. And then after that, where can you find a space where you can then share that knowledge and expertise as well? I think when, you know, and this is, you know, very common when we start in our career, like, okay, I just want to get into marketing. I don't care what job I get. Like, let me just start working and get my career going. I know that's exactly how I was when I graduated. And that's totally fair. You've been going to school 3-4 years. You want to get out there and you want to start working and put all this knowledge to use. But what kind of stops along the way again, and you kind of touch on it a little bit, is your why. What are you doing this for? At the end of the day, what is it that you're working so hard towards? What is it that you want to achieve at the end of this? Yes, of course, having a job is great. We all need to work and make a living. But what does that mean for you at the end of the day as an individual, as a human being? And so I think understanding that for yourself and really taking the time to search for that and to, you know, test that, you know, that finding and being able to really articulate it well and really, really being able to tie it to different areas of your life allows you to have the connectivity to that item in all different types of ways. And so as you're getting experience and as you're either climbing the corporate ladder or as you're looking to start your own business, continue to have those check-ins with yourself and continue to be able to kind of take a step back and say, okay, where is this opportunity really going to lead me? Where is this really going to go? And then as you continue to further your career, your voice and that individuality that you've been practicing and that you've kind of been shaping in the background is going to come through. And so even in a market that is that could be oversaturated, that individuality and that specialty that you've been working so hard to attain is going to shine through, and it's going to be useful for the right opportunity that comes your way. So I would say continue to work on it, continue to identify what that is, and then continue to make sure that you're perfecting it and getting that experience where you can.
Yeah. So I think that there's two things to this. So there's definitely the self-awareness piece. And that is definitely something that I bring up a lot. Because I think until you have that like somewhat grounded perspective on your self-awareness and like you can really lock in on what those things, like you said, mean to you that are going to prevent you from hitting those burnout phases and prevent you from just being the yes person that just does something because someone else tells you to do it. I think that like it can be really hard to sort through a lot of decisions that you're having to make, which can lead to a lot of decision fatigue and just making you feel more anxious and more run down and things kind of along that level. You know, I think another thing we see with millennials is that we want that instant gratification. And right now the job market is just not going to allow for instant gratification. And I think it's also important to realize that everyone is on a different path right now. For a lot of different reasons, and comparing ourselves to each other is not beneficial right now. Like,
absolutely,
this person can have this set of skills, and like you said, they could be super clear on their why, and that's why they went in and rocked this interview, and they had a new job within a week. But you might have a little more work to do before you're at that point, or maybe that first interview that came up wasn't the right fit for you, and the universe knew it wasn't the right fit for you.
Exactly.
With that, you know, the instant gratification thing, I think that it can be really like, people are getting really disheartened by it and they're just feeling like, you know, they have this limited self-worth and they're struggling with things like that. So when you're looking at something like that, how do you take those, you know, the different skills that you have and how do you start to think through them and kind of translate them for yourself of like how this skill equals this and how that can be transferable to another industry? Because I think that that's another part of this is we're starting to see that people are having to really pivot right now. And it's a little bit different than, you know, what you used to kind of have a little bit of preparation time if you were going to pivot, right? Like you kind of knew you were looking to make a course correct or you wanted to change or something was coming. And right now, like people are kind of being forced to try new things, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I just think it's something that people haven't really given the thought or time to navigate. And therefore it's becoming a little more impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I feel like with COVID, it was kind of like we were living our life normal, la-di-da, regular routine, and then literally within 24 hours, it was like the world was going through a pandemic. It was fast and so quick, and decisions at the top were being made so fast, and that people just couldn't grasp everything that was going on. We didn't have all the facts. We didn't know if we were going to be working from home for 2 weeks to 2 years. Like, it was just so much going on. And I think what's important when you're trying to absorb all this information, and when you're trying to figure out, you know, what do I do next, is, again, where you're at, because it's very easy. The instinctiveness is like, okay, say you're furloughed or laid off. Okay, I need to find another job. That's our instinct, because we're made to survive. We're going to protect ourselves. We're going to find that job so we can make an income, keep a roof over our head, food on the table, all that stuff, which of course is very important. But if you have the time to kind of, again, just take a beat and just listen to yourself to say, okay, listen, this could be an opportunity for me here. You know, what is it again that I'm really looking for? Am I happy in my current job? What are the facets of my role that I love? What are the facets that I could do without? Do I want to do something else? Do I want to explore another career? I know different people in various areas have taken this time to go back to school, have taken it to retool, upskill themselves, focus on that idea or that dream they've always had. And so this time, although it's very uncertain, don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next, also take the time though to figure out what this transition period is going to look like for you, because that's what it is. It's a transition period. If you do decide that, okay, you know what, I want to continue to go hard into the job market, continue to work, again, figure out what it is that you want to do. I feel like this time especially, and from a lot of conversations I've been having, is that people are like, you know, because there's like things are closed or, you know, social distancing, I've really had to spend time with myself. I've really had to like reflect and think about what I've been doing, why I've been doing it, and where I want to go, because life has kind of slowed down a little bit where it's allowed us this grace period to kind of have those thoughts and not be just trying to go from one point to another point so quickly. And so I would say take that for yourself, because that's important. That's important for who you are and the person that you're growing into. So even if you're on the job search, take the moments in either maybe in the morning when everyone's still asleep, or later in the evening, when you can just find that quiet time and just really kind of just reflect and say, okay, where am I right now? Where do I want to go? And what is my plan to get there? Even if you're job searching, that transition point of your planning and job applications and your network and how you're going to manage your job search is still so important. And so taking that time is going to be key, and then making sure that you kind of have that laser focus for wherever you want to go in your job search efforts.
Yeah, I like to encourage, you know, I think for me, like, I used to be that person 100% that would hold myself back from just like going after things, because if I didn't feel like I had the perfect plan, or I didn't know if something was the right next step or whatever, like, rather than just taking action and seeing what happened or what door opened or whether this, you know, started to feel like the right thing or wasn't the right thing, I would just kind of become paralyzed with this fear of like, what if I'm doing the wrong thing? What if I'm, you know, not going after the right opportunity? Or what if this isn't the right thing for me? Or how do I know? So I've really started to encourage my, you know, my peers and just my listeners to really just take imperfect action. And I feel like that's becoming like a catchphrase nowadays. And like, you're hearing it on podcasts, you're seeing it in books, but I think it's so relevant right now of like, you do. And I like that you've really hit on the like slowing down to make decisions, because I've definitely seen a lot of just in my like personal circle of friends, a lot of like jump the gun, wanting to just chase after something, but not really putting that thought behind it. Right. And, you know, so what is some advice that you would have for people on just how to take action? Like, how do they start taking that imperfect action? Some really like tangible tips that they can use to try to really start to uncover what this next step is for them.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I would say I like, for me personally, I love lists. I love writing things down. I love the pen and the paper. So whether that's your jam or you like to type things out or even voice notes, whatever your medium is, figure out, like, take the time to talk to yourself. Like, what is it that I like to do? And say it out loud. Like, I like communication. I like project management. I like team building. You know, I like facilitating, or, you know, I like data. I like planning. I like strategy sessions. Like, what is it that really motivates you to, you know, get up in the morning? If you could do the one thing that would make you smile every day, what would be that thing? Yeah. And ask yourself those questions and then flip it. Like, what would be the thing that would make you dread getting up every day? What's the thing that would make you want to, you know, run away to the other side of the planet so that you would never have to do it again? Yep. You know, just those extremes can really just help put a lot of things into perspective. So yeah. Write it down. And when you start to see the words on paper or, you know, on the screen, and you start to see those patterns and you start to see those themes, it becomes quite evident after you've done a couple rounds of conversations with yourself, what is it that you're really purposeful in? And what is it that you find the most excitement and happiness and contentment in it? And then from there, I would really try to line that up to like, okay, if these are the things, the skill sets that I like to do, what are the jobs that utilize these skills and that, you know, use them 90% of the time? Yeah. And Google is everybody's best friend. So search up yep. job descriptions, search up different companies. There's tons of stuff on YouTube where companies do these culture videos and talk about what they do and why they do it and their purpose, and start to align your purpose to an organization's kind of core values and see what aligns there. Talk to people on LinkedIn, find other people who are at the organization, read articles, read blog posts, like immerse yourself in a world of research where you're really trying to kind of match make yourself to the culture or the company or the opportunity that's going to make you most happy and most fulfilled. And what's really great is like now you're saying, Allison, we have that time. You know, mm-hmm. things are a little bit slower. Things aren't going to move at the speed of light like we've been used to for so long. And so you can take this time and do this research without having the pressure of like some deadline coming that you have to get it done. Mm-hmm. If it takes a day or it takes a couple weeks or even a couple months, that's okay. Try to enjoy the process. Try to find, you know, the silver lining and everything that you're researching and that you're doing, because that's what's going to continue to motivate you to continue to push forward and continue to kind of get you through to that next step and that next phase. And so just enjoying what this process can unveil about yourself, about what works for you, what doesn't work for you. You'll see that you're probably a different person once you've kind of come through on the other side, mm-hmm. because you now yeah. kind of understand why you function in the way you do, and then you can utilize that to be even better than you were before.
Yeah. I think you touched on a really important thing about when you're job searching. Yeah, I think a lot of millennials get very held up on job titles. And I think a lot of that mm-hmm. was a product of how we were raised. You know, just we were always told, like, you got to go to college, you got to get the good job, you have to have the big important job title, right? And I think yeah. we get so locked on what the job title is that we forget to read the job description. And I think that like mm-hmm. what the job actually entails is so important. And also the company culture, like you said, like I think that that's something that I've noticed a lot of my peers are not necessarily doing is looking into the company culture, because I think that, like you said, there's a lot of information out there nowadays that you don't have to go into an interview blind to what the corporate culture is there anymore. You just exactly. have to know how to look for it. And mm-hmm. I think that that's like a super important, like you said, a research skill that like take the time to do that, because it's going to set you up for success more in the long run than if you kind of just rush into it. Because here's what I think people don't need to be doing right now. And that's taking the first, you know, taking whatever job they have to just to take a job, whatever. Like if you need mm-hmm. a filler job to keep your income going, I think that there are also, you know, there's a way to, maybe you are a barista at Starbucks for a short period of time so that you yeah. can do this other research on the side. But I don't think that it's necessarily always the right step to just take whatever first corporate job you find just to say that you have a job again.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that part of that, like I said, is yes, you want to take imperfect action. So your imperfect action is really doing that research. I think that mm-hmm. that's a really good connection point for people of like, you might have to do something that doesn't necessarily suit your long-term goals. Like I said, like whether that's a barista or working in a retail shop mm-hmm. or whatever, just to pay the bills for the time being. But what can you be yeah. doing to further yourself in the long run? And that could also be something like a side hustle.
Absolutely. And it's funny you talk about doing things that, you know that you don't see yourself doing it for the long run, but it's just kind of to get you to your next opportunity. And that's actually how I fell into human resources. So when I graduated from school, I actually went to school for accounting. And, you know, I was ready to kind of, you know, work at a big, large organization, you know, get that corporate job as an accountant. And, you know, when I graduated, we were still in the recession and jobs were really, really, really challenging to find. time. So I went to a recruitment agency to see if I can get some help. And they actually offered me a job as a recruiter. And so, you know, when that kind of point came into my life, I was like, you know, I didn't spend 4 years and X amount of student debt to be a recruiter. That's definitely not what I have been fantasizing for, you know, years and years. But I said, you know, I need to work. I can do this job. I want to learn a new skill. And, you know, if it's really that horrible, you know, I can leave and find something else. And then as I started to get into it, and as I started to realize the areas of people interaction, of communication, of working with organizations, and realizing more so what I enjoyed about it, it gave me such an excitement and kind of a drive to be like, okay, what next? How can I do this but take it to the next level? Or how can I do this and become better at it? And then that led me to the door of HR, which then led me to kind of where I am 10 years later. So, you know, those little opportunities that you may be like, oh, you know, this is just a beat in the road. It's like, you never know where that can lead to as well and what you'll discover about yourself in that process. So don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, I think you made a really good point about asking for help. Like when you felt like you couldn't figure out how to get there, like you went and, hey, I need to get something. I need help. So you went to a recruitment agency. You know, I think that that's something that isn't necessarily commonly used across like the entertainment industry per se. And that's a resource that's out there and available to people that they don't even think about sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I, like you said too, I think you're not in this alone. And I think that right now, because we are living in this, we're isolated in our homes. We're not supposed to be around large groups of people. So that limits, you know, our family interactions, that limits our friends' interactions, that it can feel really easy. Like you can easily fall into this trap of like, I'm alone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to suffer through this myself, but like, we're not alone.
Exactly.
And I think that it, you know, a lot of it too is like you said, like learning from people that have been there or are already masters in the field. So how would you recommend that, like, or do you have advice that you could give our listeners on, you know, how do you find a mentor? How do you find those people that are experts in the field that you can learn from? And how do you do like informational interviews and things of that nature in a time like this, where there's probably a lot of sensitivity around like, you know, I'm imagining if I was running a hiring board right now, and I'm getting email after email after email of people that are looking for jobs. Like, I'm sure that's really hard on them too, to navigate how to help people during a time when maybe their organization isn't hiring. How would you approach something like that?
Yeah, no, great questions. So I think from the mentorship perspective and looking to kind of find other resources to help you in your search is try to understand where it is that you need the help. So is it the resume? Is it the interviewee? Is it finding the jobs that align with your skill set? So again, taking that time to see like, where is it along the job, you know, funnel that I'm tripping up the most or that I'm finding the most challenging? And then once you've identified what that area is, then find a mentor, find a resource that can help you with that. So for example, say you're like, oh, I haven't done my resume in 5 years. I don't even know where to start. I have so many things. I don't know how to distill it to the key points. Maybe finding someone like a career coach or someone who specializes in resumes that can kind of help articulate all your experience and put it into a format that, you know, translates into the resume application tracking systems is what you need. So, you know, that could be an idea. Or finding, say, a recruiter or someone that, you know, looks at resumes all the time or that's always in the market helping other people job search, you know, asking them out to a virtual coffee to say, you know, could you give me some tips? Or this is kind of what my challenge is. What advice would you give me? But understanding where that area is for you, I think is most important. And then aligning a resource to that area to then get the support that you need. I think when you're reaching out to new people, it's always intimidating because as you're pointing out, Allison, they're probably getting a lot of emails, in-mails, messages, DMs. And it's like, how do I stand out? Number one, and how can I work best with this person? Like, I don't really know them. So, you know, how can I start to build that relationship? And so my first piece of advice for that is if you know someone in your network who may know someone that's connected to that individual, that is a really great kind of foot in the door because they can do a warm introduction. They can, you know, do that kind of uneasy, awkward introduction for you. So then that kind of helps make the relationship introduction a bit more smoother, which can be helpful. If in the case that isn't the situation, I would say use LinkedIn as your best friend, because LinkedIn is an awesome tool where you can literally find thousands of people at various companies, various backgrounds, again, with specialties that you can send them a message to and, you know, start to formulate that conversation. If you're finding that they're not getting back to you, see if there's other ways you can engage them, maybe Twitter, maybe Facebook. I'm not saying to stalk them by any means, but, you know, sometimes people don't look on their LinkedIn a lot. You know, people are, you know, trying to also take a little bit of a break from social media. So I don't say to overdo it, but do it in a way that, you know, wait a week, follow up, wait another week, you know, try another method, you know, be creative, I would say, from that perspective. And then once you do finally have their attention and you kind of have a conversation going, be honest, you know, you've done all this work to reach out to them, to get a conversation going, let them know where you're at. Say, you know, this is my situation. This is kind of where I'm struggling. And this is where I would really like your help. Because what we do a lot of times with mentors and people and coaches is like, we just expect them to know what to do, or we expect them to read our minds and to know our issues and to just fix it for us. But we really kind of have to help the person who's helping us, and making sure that we're pointing and guiding them in the right direction so that we get the most information and the direction and insight that we need to kind of move forward to the next step.
And I also think people right now are very sensitive to the fact that people are in a hard situation. Everyone is living a different version of the hard situation. And so I think where in the past, you know, it might be a little harder to open up and be a little more honest and forward, I think nowadays that's really serving, especially when you're trying to pivot industries. I think, you know, you're going to be applying for jobs that you don't have 100% of the skills for. And I know that a lot of people will hold themselves back because they say, oh, well, I don't have this skill, or I don't whatever. And I think you have to be going after jobs that you aren't 100% qualified for. But I think you have to be able to make a case for, you're a fast learner, you're really into, you know, putting in the work, this is what you're going to do to learn that skill. And I think that that can be also really valuable when you're having conversations.
Definitely.
So, final thoughts, big lessons for the listeners to take away from this conversation.
I would say the biggest thing, you know, if you don't take anything else away from, you know, what we've been chatting about, I would say, first and foremost, understand your value proposition or your brand voice. You know, again, take that time, believe in what you bring to the table, and figure out how to articulate that in a way that is easy to understand and that is also valuable to you. Don't communicate something that you're not aligned with just because it may get somebody's attention. But make sure that it's true to who you are and true to what you want to represent and ultimately bring to the table. I would say from there, understand where to take action. This is a very overwhelming time. You know, there's a lot going on and it's very easy to feel like you don't know where to go next. But identifying that first step and then motivating yourself to act on it is going to be key, because things don't come unless we move and we take that action, or as you said, Allison, that imperfect action, which I absolutely love and I'm totally going to be using that
move. It's my favorite phrase right now.
And it's so perfect for everything that's going on. And you know, nothing comes without that action. And will you mess up? Probably. You know, if you think about it, when we're kids and we're learning to ride a bike or we're learning to do something for the first time, 9 out of 10 times you're going to do it wrong and you're going to fall, but you get back up and you keep trying. And that's what we have to keep remembering as adults, is that if you're trying something new, you're going to mess it up, but you get back up and you keep going at it and you get better and better and better. And I think that kind of ties back into the, and that instant gratification where we're just expecting it to work, or we're just expecting, you know, that home run. It's like, unfortunately, it's just, as much as we would love to, you know, emulate what we see in social media into real life, that's just not how the world works. So understanding and kind of relearning that process is going to be so helpful as you continue to develop yourself and as you continue to really, again, focus in on your value proposition, your brand voice, and kind of what that's like for you. with that, you want to make sure, and as we kind of just said, you want to be asking for help. We cannot do this alone. No one does anything alone, especially nowadays, where there's networks everywhere, where there's people who are helping, where there's resources everywhere we turn. And so don't be hesitant to ask for help. And you should actually be seeking out the help, because mentors, resources, guides, those all help you to get to where you want to go faster without, you know, some of the stumbling blocks along the way. So taking that time to ask for help, identifying what that looks like, and then again, taking that action to make sure that you're seeking it and getting that into your life where it may be is super important. And it will be something that you definitely won't regret.
Yep. And I think one other thing to touch on is, as you had said before, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you.
Yes, absolutely. And I realized that, you know, in middle in my career, where it's like, you know, I'm the type of person that if I'm not doing something that I'm kind of, you know, kind of stumbling with and kind of having to really put my energy into, then I'm really kind of staying still, whether it's in my career, mm-hmm. whether it's in my personal life. And for me, that kind of that in itself agitates me. So if I find that I'm getting too comfortable after a couple of months or something, I'll be like, okay, like I need that new challenge. I need that new goal. I need that thing that's going to, you know, get me to the next level or just push me a little bit differently. So just something that keeps me motivated. Everybody's different with their goals. Everybody gets motivation in their own way. But I think finding that and then making sure that you have that challenge to keep making you better is absolutely important.
And one final thought from me, I think it's also important to remember that it, you know, it's okay to change your mind. Like, I think yes. that, you know, a lot of us have this like mental picture of, like you said, like kind of what we thought life was always going to be and what that dream goal was and what we were really working towards. And as you're starting to explore some of these new pathways and opportunities, I think it's important to remember that you can change your mind. Like just mm-hmm. because you were moving forward down one path and you put in work doesn't mean that that work you put in isn't transferable to another path. If all of a sudden you've realized, oh, hey, I actually really like writing and because yeah. I just did all, or I like researching and like, because I just did all this research, now I want to look for something where I can use that in my career rather than, you know, before I was going more for data analyst or something, you know? So like, I think that when you're exploring new paths, don't be afraid to course correct again or to kind of think about what, you know, what is it, even in this process, it's really falling in love with the process, right? Like really yeah. starting to enjoy the process of self-discovery and where mm-hmm. that's going to lead you.
Absolutely. 100%.
So where can my listeners connect with you? And of course, I'll link all of this in the show notes for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So please do follow me on LinkedIn, just Alicia M. Campbell. I do career coaching and, you know, resume design. So if anybody out there is looking for someone to kind of help tweak their resume or give them some direction, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Also, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and my website is cultureshifthr.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
No problem. And thank you so much again for having me.
All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. There were so many nuggets of wisdom for how you too can start to take action, even when it feels hard. Please take this opportunity to connect with Alicia through social. There are so many different ways to get in touch with her and to use her as a resource moving forward. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you back here same time next week. Thank you so much for taking some of your valuable time to hang out with me today. I hope you found a nugget of wisdom to encourage you to get out of your own way and to take action, even when it feels hard. Resources and links discussed in today's episode can be found in the show notes. And P.S., if you love this episode or it really vibed with you, I would really love for you to slide into my DMs on Instagram at @what_if_you_did_the_podcast so that we can connect, or better yet, share this to your story, or maybe even send it to a friend. And be sure to tag me so that I can personally say thank you for coming along this journey with me. Until next time, friends.